We're up to chapter 5, verses 12 to 16 in our Acts series, in our Tell the World series. It's okay. In our Tell the World series. And I don't know about you, but these whole 5 chapters have kind of been a big challenge for me. And as I was preparing this next sermon, God just really, really challenged me this week about how are we living our lives? How am I living my life? So I don't want you to think that this sermon's attacking you, or don't want you to think that I'm preaching to you or it's just for you, because it's me as well. I feel like God's really just opened up my eyes to a huge insight in my own life. So anyways, we're picking up from Ananias and Sapphira. Last week, Chris Marsh preached about Ananias and Sapphira. And what we've read about and what we've spoken about in the last couple of chapters of Acts is that the people were getting filled with the Spirit and preaching. And because of the power of the Holy Spirit, God was changing people. He was restoring people. He was transforming people to an extent that the people weren't even preaching for them to give up everything of all their money and income. But yet God was challenging the people and changing them completely. So we have in these chapters before the believers selling their houses, selling their lands, selling their possessions, and bringing all the money to the apostles' feet. And we spoke about this a couple of weeks ago, and how their whole mindset was kingdom. All the believers were doing this. And so because they were doing this, the money was getting distributed out amongst all the believers, that no one was going without need. Everyone's needs were being met. They shared their possessions with one another. And God was actually honouring them. And so we're picking up after Ananias and Sapphira, because Ananias and Sapphira were just following the crowds. They weren't actually changed by God, transformed by God, and challenged by God to do this. It looks like they were just following the crowds to fit in. And so they sold their land and property. And with his wife's full knowledge, Ananias kept some of the money for himself. And God told Peter, and Peter challenged him. And because he was holding back and wasn't actually sold out for the kingdom, he was holding back this money and he was being selfish in the way, God struck him dead. And that's what Chris spoke about last week. And so I'm picking up just after that and what's happened. And if we look at verse 11, we can see basically what's happened. It says, great fear seized the whole church and all about these events. So I'll read the passage again, just because I like to have a refresher in my mind, and you may feel the same. The apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders among the people, and all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. As a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on them as he passed by. Crowds gathered also from towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by evil spirits, and all of them, not some, all of them were healed. Just wanted to see if everyone was awake. Great fear came upon all the people. Can you imagine if that just happened in our church right now? If God struck dead some people, how would we respond? Shock. My challenge this week has been, are we fake? Are we pretending? Or are we true disciples for Jesus? Because it says here, no one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. The people saw the good things that God was doing, and they were highly regarded. But yet, fear was upon a lot of the people. The ones who were half-heartedly following Christ, the ones who were following the crowd, left. And the only ones left in these believers were the true disciples. How are we living our lives? Are we true disciples? Or are we simply just pretending to be? Just so we look good. And this has been a big challenge. We see in the chapters before how the disciples lived, how the believers lived. Signs and wonders were happening all the time. They were healing the sick. They were preaching the gospel all the time. And we even see before then all the gospels, and if you've ever read the gospels, you'll constantly just see Jesus helping people, constantly just seeing Jesus raising the dead, freeing the people from bondage and hurt, doing miracles. Signs and wonders were happening all the time. And he made a way for us to live like this as well. Are we true disciples, or are we fake? Are we pretending to be? Have I been pretending to be this whole time? Am I a true disciple of Jesus? We have this goal, 100 disciples in 5 years. And then we have a cross here that has our name and tag on it, which is in the bowl here. And we've put our names on this tag, on the cross, to represent that we're a disciple of the Lord. So then we can know when we've got 100 disciples. We can know when we've got that goal. Should our name really be there? Are we real disciples? Or are we fake? Because we see constantly how we're meant to live. We're preaching all the time how we're meant to live. And I don't know about you, but I clearly don't have people bringing the sick to my doorstep. When I walk down the street, I don't have people coming to me sick and asking for prayer. I don't have people coming to me at my workplace. I don't have the sick coming to me knowing that God's going to heal them. I don't have that in Ararat. I don't have that in Melbourne. I don't have that in Australia. Am I a true disciple of Jesus? Or have I been faking this whole time, following the crowds this whole time, just so I can get into heaven? We are constantly talking about how God gives us freedom. We're constantly talking about how he can make our lives better. But yet so many times, ourselves are still in bondage. So many times we are still suffering. How many of us are caught up by fear that we don't even tell our friends about God? But yet we tell people that he can free them from that fear. How many times have we been sick and not prayed for healing? But yet we tell people that Jesus healed the sick and he made a way for us to do the same. How many times are we living depressed or upset and hiding it from everyone else? But yet we pray for people and tell them that God can help them. Are we even living in the freedom that we tell people that God clearly offers us? Are we living in that freedom? Or are we still living in the bondage? Are we still living in the sin? That God, Jesus, made a way for us to live out of. In the Salvation Army, we believe that it's the privilege of all believers to be wholly sanctified, so that their whole mind, body, and spirit may be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus made a way for us. for us to live. And that's what the Gospels are. Showing us how Jesus lived. And he tells us to live like him. Are we daily living like him? Or are we just pretending? Are we just pretending? Are we coming to church every Sunday and just pretending? Are we singing the songs just to sing them? Or are we worshiping God? The apostles healed many. Are we living like that? Like the way that they have lived in Acts. Like the way that this says Jesus lived in the Gospels. Are we living like that? Because he's made a way for us to live like that. Are we a true disciple? Should our name really be on that cross? Or are we fake and pretending? Am I fake? Am I pretending this whole time? I can show you so many testimonies, so many stories of people being healed, that bones growing, legs growing. I can show you so many things of God moving in people's lives. But I've chosen a bit of a video to show you today. And it's clearly not showing us all the healings, but it's showing us a different side. And it's called The Finger of God, and we're selling it at Coorong Bookstore in the shop if you're interested. But it's about this guy. And basically something happened with his auntie and uncle. God did a miracle in their life. And so this guy who's been at church his whole life kind of watched and said, "You've got to be kidding." And so he decided to make a documentary film on things that he heard God was doing, to see if it's real. So he travelled the world, he travelled America, and went to places that he'd heard God was moving, and he listened to people's testimonies. He saw God at work. And we're picking up when he's interviewing a couple of people. So this is where we're picking up from now. Thanks, Scott.
Discussed much on popular news media. For example, this place, Bethel Church in Redding, California. You've already heard a bit from their pastor, but I went out there to check out a school of ministry they had where the students' idea of a good time was to go to the ER on Friday nights to try and pray for someone to be healed before the doctor saw them. These students were some of the most radical people I've ever met.
About a couple of weeks ago, I took my little brother out on what we call a treasure hunt, which is where we'll pray beforehand, and we'll just say, "Lord, you know, we're going to go like specifically to say like a mall or, you know, someplace out in the public, and we'll say, you know, show us, you know, names of people, what they look like, maybe what we can pray for." So we did that, and then we went into this mall, and my brother had gotten a clue of to go into like kind of like a video game slash like role-playing game store, and so we kind of found that one out. I had gotten this picture of like somebody with like this thing on their arm where it like wraps over their finger. And I had thought it was like one of those things that like girls wear, you know, like they like pull the things up over their arm. I don't even know what that is. And so we're in this store, and then all of a sudden, this kid's in the background, and he's playing, you know, whatever this like game, this kind of like role playing chess game thing. And he has a cast on his hand, so I'm like, well, that's a good place to start, you know. So me and my brother like walked over to him and kind of just like sort of boldly just kind of interrupted his game. And I was like halfway thinking, I wonder if his like friend that they're playing this game with is going to get all irritated or anything. And I just said, "Hey, you know, I noticed you have a cast. What happened? You know, was it an accident?" "Yeah." And he's like, "You know, I fell on my skateboard. I like sprained my wrist really badly." And I said, "Well, you know, Jesus can heal you. You know, can we pray for you right now? Because we felt like we're supposed to come in here and specifically to like pray for people." And he's all, "Okay, you know." And so he took his thing off. We asked him if we could like pray for his hand. And I just touched it and I just said, "You know, in Jesus' name, I just release healing power. And Lord, just thank you that you died for our healing and for our sins." And then I said, "Test it out." And he's all, "Yeah, it's better." And I was like, "Well, what do you mean it's better? Like on a scale of 1 to 10, like 0 being no change and 10 being like fully, fully better." I'm like, "Where is it, you know?" He's like, it's like 10, you know? And I was like, it's a 10? And he's like, yeah. And I'm all, dude, you just got healed. And then he was like, I know, you know? He was like all like, he like didn't know how to respond almost.
We were on the streets, and there was a man that was begging. He was mute. He was mute from birth, and he was begging on the streets of Skid Row in L.A., a real rough part of town. And we began to pray for the guy, and he was just kind of groaning and stuff. And but we asked him and said, say Jesus, you know, and he began to speak, and we commanded him to speak, and we commanded healing to come. And he began to speak, and his first words were Jesus.
And just this past weekend, I was praying for someone's finger that was completely crooked, and it had no feeling in the finger, and I put my hand on it, and I started releasing the kingdom of God. I started praying in the name of Jesus, just healing power to flow, and the guy's finger popped right back in my hand, and he started crying and said, I haven't had feeling in my finger for 6 years.
And not too long ago, I was out shopping, and I ended up buying a drink at this place where there was this girl. And I was talking to her, and I asked her if she needed prayer for anything, and she told me that she had a dislocated shoulder. And so I prayed for her shoulder real quick, and I just prayed that God would show her how much he loved her, and asked her how she was doing, and she said there wasn't any difference right then. Prayed again, and there actually wasn't any difference then. So I left, wondering why the person didn't get healed. But that night, I talked to someone who had talked to her later, and found out that night as she was laying in bed, her shoulder instantly snapped back into place, and it freaked her out so much. And the next day,
now, as I sat there and listened to story after story after story, 8 hours in all, I began to wonder if what I was hearing about was supposed to be the average Christian life. I mean, these kids were out of their minds for God. Had I been missing something all these years?
Because I came out of a background where I had never even heard of the Holy Spirit until about 4 years ago. Like, they just didn't talk about it. And now I read through the Bible, and I mean, like, they have whole books on what people do through the Holy Spirit. I'm just like, how can you miss this? It's right there. You believe in Jesus, and that's his book right there. So if you don't believe that, do you believe him?
I just thought I had to do good things. Like, I thought that I had to be super nice to every single person in the world. You know, I thought that I had to go to church, I had to sing in the choir, I had to be a part of the things that were happening, you know. It was all about what I did and not about bringing Jesus home with me. Like, he just wasn't at home, you know. He just wasn't in the grocery store. He was just at church. But my perspective of who he was that he's my God and he saved me, but I didn't know anything about hearing him speak to me or seeing him move.
The miraculous is just should be a common everyday thing in life, because if Jesus said to follow him and to do the things he did, a lot of people, you look at that as like it's just a you know, like just to try to not do bad things and to pray and to do that. It seems like it's almost ignored that Jesus did miracles all the time, and he healed the sick and he raised the dead. And then if he said to follow me, it would probably be what he was saying is also to do the same miracles that he did and to walk in the same way he did. It should just be a common thing in our life, even though it's not seen that way by most Christians.
And some people say, oh, Christianity is boring. And I really feel it's because they haven't seen the full potential of what a Christian can be.
Like, the full gospel and, like, really doing what Jesus called us to do, how can it be boring, you know? You see someone get out of a wheelchair and you're like, man, I'm bored. No, that doesn't happen.
The real reason why a lot of people don't step out and do the works of Jesus Christ is because they have not been taught that they can do it. They have not been taught that the reality is the same Spirit that rose Christ Jesus from the grave lives inside of them. But the Holy Spirit is imprisoned in unbelieving believers. And the Holy Spirit longs to get out, to touch somebody, to make impact.
Are we a true disciple, or are we just being fake? Are we pretending to follow Jesus? These guys just showed us and just told us testimonies clearly of what their life is just like. Are we really living like this? I'll tell you, I'm not. I haven't been living like this my whole life. Yeah, we have church and we pray for people to be healed. You know, and probably sometimes throughout the week. But daily, I'm not being a fool for Christ. I know there are so many times in my own life that I let fear hold me back. Scared of what people are going to think of me, how they're going to respond. What if God doesn't heal? I'll look like an idiot. Are we true disciples? Should my name really be on that cross? Or am I just pretending to be one? Because one of the guys made it very clear. To live just like Jesus lived. Yeah, we love people and we help people. But does it just stop at that? Because that's our comfort zone? Are we really making a change in the people's lives who we encounter every day? Or are we just pretending? I know that when you speak like this and when you talk about things like this, it's so easy to start thinking of our partners or our friends and our family who aren't living like this. But just think of yourself. It's so easy to look at others. It's so much harder to actually look at yourself. Are we pretending? Or are we true disciples? How are we going to live the rest of our life? Are we going to go on pretending to be someone that we're not, following the crowds, coming down to the altar call when you feel like it because there's a whole big crowd? Are we going to live in fear our whole lives and not step out in faith? Not talk to the person down the street? Not pray for the person who's in a cask or in a wheelchair? Are we going to hold back the power of the Holy Spirit because we're clearly not stepping out? Or are we going to be true disciples and follow Jesus the way he showed us to live? Told you it was a hard sermon today.